it's so funny to me to like think about like Crumb being descended from a wolf, because no, he's not. Like, he couldn't, he's just, it's not in him. There's no, there's no wolf left. But like today we were, I took him on his little walk this morning, and like, he'll just like, we'll be walking and then a leaf will be like stuck on his foot. Like, you know, because we walked over a leaf, and I feel like a normal dog would just keep walking or get it off, but he freezes and he lifts his paw and he waits for me to take it off. And I'm like, buddy, it's a leaf. You can do this one.
Sweet baby.
He just, and the way he freezes and just like fear. Just like, I don't know what this is. You gotta get it. I'm like, you're just a little guy.
He's just so not, like, and again, truly Kasim, but he's such an indoor kid, like,
yes,
with his little allergies and his fears of leaves, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's that kid that would go to camp and have inhalers, yep, and again, same, like, I really understand, but that is, I just, oh,
yeah,
oh, Crumb.
Yeah. And, like, what's interesting is the only time he really, like, becomes a dog is around water. Like, he loves to swim, and like specifically like fresh water, like, or like, you know, natural water. He doesn't, every time we've tried a pool, he's like, I don't get what this is, but like a creek, he loves. Like the ocean, cute, he loves. He becomes, he goes full dog mode on those kind of things.
Back to his roots, his like ancestors start calling him and he's like, yes.
Yes.
I am a creature of the wild.
I can swim. You're like, sure, man. Kinda. Yeah. Yeah, the best,
so
at
cute,
it, but
he stays afloat.
He does. He does. He's, you know, he can doggy paddle, literally. Pretty good at it.
Amazing. So sweet. Better than me. I'm not a swimmer.
Is that true?
I hate swimming.
Interesting.
I absolutely hate it. I'm not good at it. I don't enjoy it. I love bodies of water.
Sure.
I like looking at them and standing near them. And maybe like I don't love a swimming pool.
Okay.
Me and a swimming pool are enemies. Like, other than like taking a cute pic by a pool.
Yeah.
The idea of like an unnatural body of water, which is being kept clean by chemicals that truly are actually just bad for you.
Yeah.
I don't get it. No. A natural body of water, I really appreciate for the vibes.
Yeah.
Like, it feels very like raw and primal, like the crashing of waves and the currents. And I find them, like, I love like listening to water sounds to fall asleep.
Right. Yeah.
But swimming, I'm just like, we're not built for this. Like, we are land creatures. Show me my gills. Show me my fins. Well, I have not them.
This surprises me based on your like mermaid affinity. I would think,
yeah,
you'd be, but maybe it's because of that.
It is. It's literally because of that. I'm like, yeah, if I had the equipment, sure,
right,
but I don't. I have legs.
Yeah.
Like, I just, no, I'm not. I'm not a swimmer. Like,
fair.
When I am on holidays, I am the person that sat reading.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys go, I'll watch our things.
Like, can't, like, do you know how? Or is it like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
great, cool.
Like, I know how.
Yeah.
Like, I can, it, I could, I always say, like, if a boat, if I was on a boat and that boat sunk, with the exception of, you know, something eating me,
yeah,
I could probably keep afloat,
right,
long enough to be rescued.
Right.
Provided it's not like a Titanic situation.
Oh, I'm dying so fast in that.
I'm, oh yeah, it, because of the cold,
yeah,
though,
I
truly.
Don't like, I don't want to be that cold in the water. I don't do well in cold water.
Absolutely not. Though that being said, if the supposed love of my life was in the water with me balancing on a vast plank of wood,
yeah,
and told me that I should just cling on and dive cold, I'm like, I'm pushing you off. And like, what are you talking about? No. Justice for Jack, honestly.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
He didn't need to die.
Because they've done that. They had the whole Mythbusters on, like, it is realistic. Like, they probably both could not have gotten on that plank. They tested it. because
okay,
they're like basically they're the way they're like their weight would have been, it would have been sunk the thing every time. Like that does right, seem okay. accurate. But doesn't it feel like other people were still living around them longer than yeah. Jack lived?
Were there not other planks? Was there not more debris?
Yeah.
Could they not have taken it in turns?
Right.
To be out of the water. Because Jack doesn't drown, does he? No. He dies of hypothermia.
Yeah.
So he freezes to death.
Yeah.
So could they not have taken it in turns? Mm. So split the time he was in the water.
That's interesting.
All I'm saying is the cold and the wet are never getting me.
No, they're never getting me. No. Yeah, I don't even like holding a cold thing for too long.
Me neither. It hurts.
It hurts. I don't like it. Whenever like we're at the grocery store and I have to hold the frozen item for too long, I go, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want this.
Yeah.
So I don't really know that I would have done very well on the Titanic. But no one really Definitely. Did, if you think about
no,
it.
No one won in that scenario. Yeah.
You know what really freaks me out, actually? I think
yes,
I have like
tell me.
A little bit of like what's it called? Like megalophobia, which actually will tie into what we're gonna talk about today. But like the size of cruise ships actually scares me when I see them. It like gives me the heebie-jeebies. They're too big.
Cruise ships scare you.
Oh my god.
Not the because I was gonna say, do you have like what is it, thalassophobia, like the scare of like of how big and deep and vast the sea is?
No, I like the cruise ships are too big. It makes me uncomfortable.
What is it that makes you uncomfortable? Like the fact that they don't sink?
I guess it just like doesn't there's like a whole skyscraper. And then you just go on the skyscraper. It just like seems wrong. And then when they compare the size of like a Carnival cruise ship to the Titanic, it like freaks me out.
Yeah, that's so valid. I don't think I've ever thought about it. Like I've never been on a cruise ship and yeah. I don't think I've ever really seen one up close.
They're like when you like sometimes when you go to San Diego, you'll see them like docked or whatever. And like the size of them every time I go, oh. Like why it's like hard to explain because it's not like it's not a logical fear, but I just think that they are simply too big. That it something about it, my brain goes, no, why is that so big?
It's such a good hold on.
Yeah.
I now need to see a picture of a cruise ship in perspective, so I'm gonna have to look that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you should, because it is
oh wow.
Right?
Whoa.
They're huge.
They're so big, Alexis.
They're so big. Do you see what I mean about it being a skyscraper?
Yeah, like a lot of them are longer than the Eiffel Tower is tall.
Yes. I don't care for that.
They make Big Ben look like Little Ben.
Yes. Yes.
That's bizarre. Yeah, no, I so understand why that freaks you out.
They're just bigger than you think they would be, and there's something about it that's like... What are we doing? Why are we making that float? I don't want to get on that. No. I don't understand
also, it. I truly, like, just personally, like, love it for everybody else.
Yeah.
Cannot think of anything I want to do less than a cruise.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, can't imagine anything that I would hate more.
I used to think that. Or I
really?
Well, here's the thing. I don't have an interest in the type of cruise where you, like... get off like really like a tropical cruise I don't care about, like I'd rather just go to the place. But I do have interest in the like an Alaskan cruise where you try and go see the Northern Lights.
So different.
Right?
No, completely different. I'm very specifically talking about like the kind of cruise where the holiday is the ship.
Yeah.
And then you sometimes get off and go to islands.
No,
I just think I would get literal cabin fever
100%
being on a cruise. And also like it just feels like one of our relatives went on one earlier this year and was just saying like they had a fun time.
Yeah.
You know, they're of an age where a cruise maybe is slightly more their kind of thing. But what they did say was like it was a real place of excess. Like people just like everything is to excess. Like people, because a lot of it is like all you can eat and all you can drink, but just to a really extreme degree.
Yeah.
Because they're so big and there are so many people.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, there's something to me I just find a bit sickening about that kind of level of excess, and also then the waste that excess generates. Like,
True.
He was telling us there were just like whole meals being cleared away night after night because people would just, and that is the thing that, yes. That gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'm not here for it.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that I'm not interested in either. Because like, I just also, the kind of spend, like some people will go on, you know, it's like a cruise to all these different places. And I'm like, so you spend like a day in the place and you don't actually get to see anything. And then you're just on this little boat. And like, it actually almost sounds like stressful to me.
Yeah, for sure.
But I would love to go and like see the Northern Lights from a boat. That seems
Totally. If the cruise itself is sort of a means to the end, and the end is like cool sea stuff or cool extreme environment.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
That would otherwise be really hard to see. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. That I totally get.
Yeah.
On the subject of cool sea stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh. Wow, what a segue. Okay.
An Ella segue today.
Oh my God. I mean, this is Comfort Creatures and...
Hello.
Hi. This week we're talking about, we're going to do a little shark ep. A cute little shark ep. I was inspired by a video that I sent to Ella of a zebra shark. So I'm going to talk about zebra sharks. And speaking of things that are huge, Ella's going to talk about...
Give us the heebie-jeebies.
That gives us the heebie-jeebies. Ella's going to talk about megalodons, because I don't think that we have before. We are getting to the point where I kind of do sometimes forget if we talked about a thing. And
me too. I was like, have we talked about these? But I was doing the research and I was like, this feels like brand new information. If you've been a long time listener and you want to write in and tell us that we have indeed talked about megalodons, that's fine. We always like to hear from you. But I want to talk about them today. So.
Yeah, either way, we're going to talk about this. And frankly, because this is pre-recorded, there's nothing you can do to stop us.
Facts. And also, are you going to complain about more megalodons? That's a you problem.
That's so true. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's go do shark stuff. So the video that I sent to Ella that inspired this, if you haven't seen it yet, I'll try to remember to post it, but I can't guarantee that I'll remember. So you have to type in zebra shark aquarium and it'll come right up because it is so cute. It's an aquarium. Picture this. You're at an aquarium. There's a person in a full scuba suit cleaning the tank and like doing his little aquarium duties. And this zebra shark will not leave him alone. He's like trying to do his duties and it keeps coming over like cuddles, and it like wants little belly scratches, and he'll like give him for a second and try and do his job, and then the shark like comes back and is like, no, I want more, and he's like, fine, and he like the shark literally like rolls over on its back so that it can get little like more scritchies. And it is so cute, and truly I've never seen a shark behave like this. I thought I should probably investigate to see if this is common for a zebra shark to do or if this zebra shark was unique. And my conclusion is that zebra shark is very unique.
Oh yeah.
Not that they're not like known for being dangerous at all. They don't eat anything remotely close to humans, but they are endangered. So in my mind, it's like, and obviously humans are responsible for that because they always are. So it's in their best interest to not trust humans. They don't normally, but so that zebra shark had a really special bond with his keepers, which is really sweet.
Really sweet.
But, and also, any sort of connective tissue to the sentence I'm going to say, I figure we should learn more about zebra sharks. So, the zebra shark is a species of carpet shark, and it is the only member of the family I even practiced saying this, but I didn't do it right. Stegostomatidae? It's the only one, so if I say it wrong, there's not that many to get upset. It's found in tropical Indo-Pacific, and it's usually found near coral reefs. They are really interesting because based on the name, they have kind of like this a zebra pattern, but they're like kind of brown and black as babies. And then as they get older, and like I didn't find like exactly like what age or like what causes this, but basically as they grow, they lose their striping and become spotted. And so for a long time, like they're and frequently they're often confused with like a tiger shark or another shark that has spots, because several like sharks look like that. But it is, in fact, still the zebra shark just grown up, which I thought was very interesting. So they are nocturnal and they spend most of their days resting on the sea floor. They do the thing where they just kind of like stay on the sand and chill. They eat mollusks, crustaceans, little fish, little probably sea snakes, mostly, you know, little things that would be on the bottom of the ocean where they're hanging out. They are solitary creatures, and sometimes will like form little aggregations, but spend most of their time alone. They are oviparous, which I remember we learned about this before, but basically that means that they mate and then they have the eggs and they are fertilized outside of the body. So the females lay these like large egg capsules that are like 6 inches long, and they look like little pods. Like they look like a thing that would come out of a tree. And it's very thick. And this is not a spoiler necessarily. No, I'm not going to say it. It reminds me a lot of a thing in the Robin Hobb Dragon Keeper books. And I won't say any more, but if you've read them, you'll know. They have these, the females have been found to lay up to like 46 eggs. And they're usually like left in batches of four, and then the little babies come out, and they come out pretty big. I saw they can come out to be like almost up to a foot long at birth. Ella's sort of doing math.
Is that what this is?
I'm not sure. It's something.
That's decently long though for a foot.
Yeah.
I basically used a ruler. It's a ruler that's too short, mm-hmm. and I've used it in midair.
Yes. And dropped it in a way that was kind of interesting, too.
And then had to drop it because I only have two hands. Yeah. So, you know. But that's quite long.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's bigger than I would expect for a baby.
Yeah.
So they can get to be really big. So they start off, as stated, about a foot long, but they usually reach a maximum length of about 8 feet.
Yikes.
I know. They're big.
That guy getting a scratch was not 8 feet at all.
No. I'm thinking, what do you think, like 5 feet maybe? He wasn't small.
But the diver, yeah, maybe like 4.5.
Yeah.
Something like that.
A young zebra shark, I'd say.
Yeah.
And they can live, like documented, it seems like they live to be around 28 years, but you know. Like anything, I'm sure there's one old zebra shark that's like, I'm actually 65, but thanks. they're like very like stretchy, basically. Like they're very flexible, and they can squeeze into very narrow crevices to search for food. And I think that it's a big contrast because they, like I said, they're nocturnal. So throughout the day, they just like lay there, and then like at night when they come alive, suddenly they can be like, you know, sneaking into tiny crevices and like being all crazy. And so I think that they're very fun to observe because of that. They are, like we were saying, so they are normally docile and slow moving. They're very much not dangerous to humans. They have like their mouths are sort of under them. Also, they have that kind of look where it's like, they don't have that great white look. You know what I mean? They like they even look a little bit more friendly.
Fishy.
Yeah. But they have bitten divers who pull on their tails or attempt to ride them. And that is so valid.
Really? Yeah. I mean, of course. So fair enough. But they don't even look like they would have proper teeth because their mouths give, you know, like an old person who takes out their dentures.
Yes.
Like that's what their mouths could be
like,
isn't it?
They really, really do. But no, they're. Other than that, they don't really mess with people. But like, I would bite someone if they pulled my tail.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you should, frankly. I think that's a very valid response. their name, here's what it was. Their genus name was derived from the Greek word stego, meaning covered, and stoma meaning mouth. So this is very much what we're talking about, where like you don't really even see their little mouth. It's like it, within the name itself, where they look like friendlier. And the name leopard shark is also sometimes applied to the spotted adult, but there's also a tiger shark. And so like it's funny how many of those, like there's a tiger shark, zebra shark, and then sometimes this is called a leopard shark, even though it's technically a zebra shark. A lot of confusing names
it is,
going on.
And it is kind of confusing because I did look at the video that you sent me and think, those aren't really stripes. Spots. You know what I mean?
I feel like they named that one too quickly, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Because sometimes people look at Percy and when they've only seen her head, which has this sort of, is a bit stripey, then they go, oh, she's like a little tiger. And then I turn her on the side. I'm like, leopard.
Yes.
You mean leopard, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, that it was a bit preemptive, wasn't it?
And I feel like if they would have observed that it changes over time, like that in itself could have created a really cool name for this type of shark. I'm like,
totally.
It totally changes. It has a camouflage, like it, I don't know, or it, what's a name for a zebra leopard hybrid? You know, like what is it? He could have such a unique name, but instead they were kind of like, I don't know, it looks like a zebra. Let's just call it that. Kind of, they didn't try to.
So lazy.
But yeah, that's mainly what I found. And like I said, they're endangered. So if you see one, please don't be mean to him. He's doing his best.
Yeah. Give him a break, guys. Yeah.
Jackie Cation, hi, and welcome to the MaximumFun.org podcast, The Jackie and Lauren Show, where we talk about stand-up comedy and how much we love it and how much it enrages us.
We have a lot of experience and a lot of stories and a lot of time on our hands. So check us out. It's 1 hour a week, and we drop it every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And this is a promo for Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions. Every week, we're going to tell you about a bit of culture, a bit of history, how etiquette still applies in the modern day, all that stuff.
We also love to do biographies and histories of and, you know, general procedurals. How to do etiquette in today's society.
So come check it out. Every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you find your podcasts.
Manners Schmanners. Get it?
Alexis, do you want to talk about megalodons?
Desperately.
Okay, great. So up until not like recently, but more recently than is probably... like, it doesn't reflect well on me that this... Basically, I thought that megalodons were fictional. That's the thing.
Sure.
And then the film, The Meg, came out.
Right.
Like, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that fictional shark. And Michael was like, it's actually real. So yeah, like 6 years, up until like 6 years ago, I think I kind of thought they weren't a real thing. And he was like, no, they were. They're just extinct now.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually seen the Megalodon film.
Me either.
But as I understand it, the idea is that a real Megalodon has continued to exist and it happens upon some people and hijinks ensue. I'm sure it's a really lighthearted family comedy that isn't at all scary.
No, I don't see why it would be.
No. It's just hijinks and shenanigans.
Yes.
So, as we've kind of touched on in our general dinosaur series, sharks are one of them ones that have been around looking kind of the same for a long old time. Mm-hmm. We're talking hundreds of millions of years ago. We've seen ice ages and earthquakes and mass extinction events, and sharks have just persisted.
Yeah.
So, slay. Sharks are also actually You know when we sometimes talk about how as kids you have a concept of like a certain animal being boys and a certain of like how I always thought cats were girls. I also always thought sharks were women, always. Like in my head, I was like, the girls of the sea. They're angry when you bother them. They want to be left alone. Give them their space. Of course they've endured for millions of years. Yeah. They're the girls.
Yes, yes.
So that belies my own gender bias. but of course, of all the prehistoric sharks, there is one that reigns supreme, and that is the Megalodon, aka Carcharocles Megalodon. Okay. I think I'm going to commit to that. Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's say that. So it lived about 17 million years ago and went extinct about 3 million years ago. So that's a good run. And it was big. It was real big. It got as long as 60 feet. How many cruise ships do we think that is? I mean, how many megalodons are in a cruise ship?
Oh my God.
Because surely that would be bigger, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Should I look at cruise ship length?
It's going to be scary. It's going to be
thousands. Whoa, you, Jesus. My God. Okay. So cruise ships can be like 1,200 feet.
Yes.
That's a lot of megalodons.
Yes.
Nothing should be that big in the sea if it's not the megalodon, is my hot take.
Yes. But
there we go.
Unless you're a whale or a megalodon. You shouldn't be that
You've
big.
No business being that big in the sea. Agree.
Yeah.
The only marine animal to ever outweigh a megalodon is the blue whale. And blue whales can get up to 200 tons. Megalodons are about half of that. But that's still a lot of heft for a shark, you know?
Yeah.
Because blue whales are quite chill. Imagine something being half the size of a blue whale, but like with like none of the chill. And that's megalodon.
Yeah, okay.
Paleontologists think that megalodons needed to eat about 2,500 pounds of food a day. That is the human equivalent to 3,300 cans of tuna. That's too much food.
Buddy, that's not sustainable.
Ma'am. It's a lot of food.
It's a lot of food.
You know, I'm not going to shame a girl with an appetite.
No.
Like,
no, I mean, and also, I feel like when you're that big, you kind of just gotta like open your mouth and swim, and they're just gonna fall in.
Well, funny you should say that. That is kind of what they did. Their jaws could open wide enough to swallow two grown adults.
Okay.
So if you and another, you're a half pint person, so
Ella thinks that I'm 3 feet tall. Also.
I do think Alexis is 3 feet tall.
I think that Ella is like 2 inches taller than me, but Ella's convinced
I'm like 2.5 inches taller than you, but they're 2.5. But you know what it is as well about Alexis? She's not just small, she's tiny. She's like teeny tiny. Like she's generally quite petite. She's a tiny little Tinkerbell person. And a megalodon would need millions of Alexis.
I would do nothing for them.
Full. You would do nothing. They should just swim right by you. A megalodon could swallow two people standing side by side, and then they have teeth the size of bananas to just...
Teeth the size of bananas.
Chomp. Yeah, each tooth is the size of a banana.
Banana. I like the way you say it better.
so they would just chomp. You know, they were found all over the world. That scientists have found like hundreds of megalodon teeth. I would love a megalodon tooth.
Oh my God.
How cool would that be?
I can say with confidence that if anyone gets either of us a megalodon tooth for Christmas, we'll be happy.
Oh, can you imagine?
So
that would be the dream. Apparently the largest one discovered ever was the length of a TV remote.
Whoa, okay, well,
yeah, long. And then to put it into context with some other prehistoric pals, its bite force was 3 times that of a T-Rex.
Whoa.
Yeah, so okay. So big
strong,
hefty chewers, essentially. There have been some megalodons that have gotten to 80 feet
oh my God
in length,
yeah,
which is truly, truly wild. Scientists think that the way that they hunted is quite similar to the way that great white sharks hunt large prey. So quite like complex hunting strategies. But I think apparently they would have hunted differently depending on the size of their prey because of the bite marks on their, because of the bite marks found on the fossils of their prey. So like baby whales, for example, were like prey to megalodons. So it's kind of thought that they would target the heart and the lungs because their teeth were so thick. So great white sharks target the underbelly of their prey. Megalodons would target the heart and the lungs because their teeth were so thick that they could bite through the bone.
Right.
Which is just insane.
Yeah.
But they would similarly to great white sharks ambush their prey from below, but they would go for heart and lungs instead of underbelly because their teeth could manage it.
Right. Scary.
Just terrible. Imagine looking down and see. Anyway, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary.
Big guy.
Really big.
What do they know why they all died out? I mean, is it just with the dinosaurs they went away, or like when did they?
So yeah, that I think their extinction was caused by the sort of your general factors, right? General global cooling, meaning that their prey became reduced in its availability. Mm-hmm. They couldn't eat as much, as we know. Mm-hmm. They needed a lot to eat because they were so big.
Right.
This is, and I think this is the thing with a lot of megafauna from this sort of time period, as, you know, other creatures maybe would have been better adapted to a reduction in diet. But when you're that big, you need to eat. You're expending so much energy.
Yeah.
So, and also it's that, like, because they were so big, they also ate big things.
Right.
So that would have also have been difficult.
Real testament to whales, honestly. Like,
yeah, truly.
They're just out there being huge and surviving and like what, eating krill? Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a real feat of evolution, the whale, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so sometime around the end of the kind of Pliocene epoch, they kind of 2.3 million years ago, the planet started to cool and they just had a lot less to eat. Large marine animals in general. The Natural History Museum cites it being 43% of turtles and 35% of seabirds as well.
Whoa.
Became extinct because of the cooling of global temperatures.
Wow.
Because animals at the kind of base of the food plane, just at the bottom of the food chain, just started to die.
Right.
And then that meant that there was just nothing to eat for the predators higher up the food chain. Also, they lived in mostly tropical waters. So that would have really affected them as well, like just a general loss of habitat because of everything getting cold. So, I mean, to call back to the beginning of the episode, megalodons also suffered at the hands of cold water.
Yeah.
The evils of cold water.
Wow.
Jack from Titanic and the megalodon being taken out by the same cruelty of the cold.
Yeah.
I feel that really, really deeply. I do understand why the megalodon has been a sort of source of like fascination for people, like this idea that they could still exist, because there is like a world, I guess, where they could have somehow adapted and changed their diets and managed to still exist. I just think that, I mean, I don't know, man, scientists say that if megalodons existed, we would know about them because they're so big.
Right.
But
would we?
I want to believe in the limits of science, and we don't know everything about the sea. Maybe they're still there.
Yeah. Yeah. This reminds me, last night or a couple nights ago, I was talking with a friend about like how often like science just is magic, but we call it science, but where we're talking about how in like a clock, often the best, the way you make it, it's all these complicated gears, and also you often need a ruby. And it just feels like, oh, also you need, you do need, you know, this precious, hard to find stone.
Why do you need it? What?
Yeah, like there, rubies and clocks is really common. And it's like, it also same with like, you know, how often things are like a diamond tipped, whatever, and how they're like precious, like there's yeah. Gold is really helpful in electronics and things like that. And so it's just a funny, like this kind of like blending of science and like the earth is so interesting to me because it just feels like magic to me that we, I don't know, like,
for sure.
I think there's something about-
the idea that it isn't is still relatively new, right? Because up until what, like, I guess the Enlightenment period, so like barely 200 years ago, we were still talking about alchemy instead of chemistry.
Yes, yes.
You know, we were still looking for the panacea that would cure all illnesses and, you know, for the philosopher's stone that would give the user eternal life. You know, like, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, we believe in finding the magic in the mundane here on Comfort Creatures.
It's true. Yeah, so rubies are used, I just checked because I want to make sure I got it right, but rubies are used in clocks because of their hardness, and it reduces, like, it's a low friction. So basically there's like constant friction within the clock in the little gears, and normally that would like tear away the metal component, but the ruby can withstand all of that, and it makes them ideal for watches. And it's like a ruby?
Crazy.
Anyway, kind crazy. Of unrelated, but I still think it counts. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So if you have a shark that you know about and you haven't already pet go yet, you have to send it to us.
Agreed. Just any interesting shark stories or encounters.
Also just fish in general. I feel like I would love to know more about the fish in your lives. Because I feel like they're not as commonly talked about, but still really interesting.
100%.
Do that. Also join us on Discord, on Instagram, and then email us to send us things at comfortcreatures@maximumfun.org.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Tell us about the magic in your life.
Cute.
So whatever that means, interpret that, Will.
Do with that as you please. All right, well, I've been Alexis B. Preston.
I've been Ella McLeod.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.